The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
You changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left. I'm Radio Pastor Ernie Sanders, and indeed, this is the voice of the Christian resistance on this July 3rd, Sunday, 2022. The title of my message was Reestablishing Liberty Throughout the Land. And tonight we're going to start in the book of Acts, chapter 27, starting with verse 23. And as they cried out and cast off their clothes and threw dust into the air, the chief captain commanded him to be brought into the castle and bade that he should be examined by scourging, that he might know wherefore they cried against him. And as they bound him with thongs, Paul said unto the centurion that stood by, Is it lawful for you to scourge a man that is a Roman and uncondemned? And when the centurion heard that, he went and told the chief captain, saying, Take heed what thou dost, for this man is a Roman. And the chief captain came and said unto Paul, said, Tell me, art thou a Roman? And he said, Yea. And the chief captain answered, With a great sum obtained I this freedom. And Paul said, But I was born free. Then straightway they departed from him, which should have examined him. And the chief captain also was afraid, after he knew that he was a Roman, and because he had bound him. Well, here, what we see is the Apostle Paul had gotten the Jews very angry at him for a couple of reasons. One, he reminded them what they did to Stephen, how they stoned him, and he also told them that he was sent as a prophet. He was sent to the Gentiles, and this really upset them because they believed that that salvation was only for the Jew. And now here comes Paul, a missionary to the Gentiles, and they were very angry with him. And so here, in fact, he had told them, reminded them, that he himself was a Hebrew of the Hebrews, and that he actually was standing by and consenting unto the death when they stoned Stephen. And then he tells him how the Lord had spoke to him. He's telling him to make haste and get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony concerning me. And so, depart, for I will send thee hence unto the Gentiles. Boy, that really made him angry. And so, here, they were ripping off their clothes. They were throwing dust in the air. They were just throwing tantrums. So the chief captain of the Roman guard, his job was to keep the peace and not allow any riots. So he took Paul and brought him to the castle and begged that he should be examined by scourging. Well, scourging was a pretty painful situation. And then Paul, and the reason was that he was going to get it out of Paul to find out why exactly what it was Paul was saying, who he was, that got everyone so angry at him. And then Paul, who is a Roman citizen. Now, a lot of people don't know this, but at that time, Rome had a republic form of government, like we do. And in other words, under a republican form of government, the individual rights of a person is assured. Not like a democracy, and all you ever hear about it, our democracy, 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 which is basically really mob rule. One half plus one rules. And the heck with individual freedoms and individual rights. And so here, Paul tells the centurion that, hey, is it legal for you to go ahead and bind an condemned Roman citizen? And when the centurion had heard that, he went right away and told his captain, and told him, you better be careful because this guy's a Roman citizen. Now, how does this apply to us today? Well, we, those of us that are born in America, we are born with constitutional rights. But more so, we're born with inalienable rights, and those rights come from God. They are not privileges granted by the state. Now, here, this chief captain understood something when he had told Paul, look, Paul, with a great sum of money obtained I this freedom. And so here we see that Paul was telling him that he was a free-born citizen. It's a much more privileged citizenship to be free-born. And so, just like our citizenship here, according to the, well, our citizenship, first of all, we have two citizenships. All born-again believers have two citizenships. Here we have our, under the Republic here, born free. But if we go and, before I go over there, I want to take a look at here. Had this captain allowed Paul to be scourged, and it was found out that yes, indeed, he was a Roman citizen, that captain would have to receive the same punishment that Paul did. But now I want to take a look at our other citizenship. Let's go over to Philippians, in Philippians in chapter 3. And we're going to read verses 17 through 21. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as you have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now telling you, weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation, by the way, that word conversation in the Greek is citizenship. Our citizenship is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that we may be fashioned like unto him, glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able to subdue all things unto himself. Now, Paul criticized, well, first of all, Paul challenged the Philippians to pursue, if you will, Christ's likeness by telling them to follow his example. Now, of course, this does not mean that they should copy everything he did, but he had just stated that he was not perfect, but as he focused his life on being like Christ, so should they. Now, the Gospels may not yet have been in circulation, so Paul could not tell them to read the Bible to see what Christ was like. Therefore, he urged them to imitate him, that Paul could tell the people to follow his example. Well, what is that? Well, that's a testimony, if you will, to his character. And not only that, Paul was putting everything right there on the line. When he told the new believers to use him as an example, to follow him, God has set very, very high standards for his shepherds, for his pastors. So Paul is, as he goes on here, you'll notice that he's criticizing the Judaizers and the self-indulgent professing Christians. Paul criticized not only the Judaizers, but also self-indulgent. We see here these people who claim to be Christians but didn't live up to Christ's model of servanthood and self-sacrifice. And he's referring to such people today satisfy their own desires before even thinking about the needs of others. Freedom in Christ does not mean freedom to be selfish. It means that we take every opportunity to serve and to become the best persons we can be. Now, the citizens of Philippi had the same rights and privileges as citizens of Rome because Philippi was a Roman colony. Likewise, we Christians will one day experience all the special privileges of our heavenly citizenship because we belong to Christ. And that's what it means. Our conversation is in heaven. Our citizenship is in heaven. And so here, God also gave a pretty clear warning to the wicked. And by the way, when he said here that they are the, he said, I have told you, even now tell you weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross, Christ whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame, and who mind earthly things. Well, here you had, in like manner, the Judaizers were kind of control freaks. What they tried to do is they tried to convince the people that salvation came through Christ and the keeping of the laws. In other words, grace plus the law. Well, that's not what Paul taught. And that's not what God's Word, the Bible, teaches. Salvation is a gift of God. You cannot pay for it. You cannot buy it. And you cannot earn it. It's a gift. The Lord Jesus Christ, he and he alone paid the price in full to wipe out our sin debt. Now, here, the Judaizers, they came trying to teach that, yes, belief in Christ plus keeping the dietary laws, keeping the Sabbath laws, so on and so forth. And today, you've got the same things. Today, out there, you've got many Sabbatarians out there that are really hung up on the seventh-day Sabbath. They're really hung up on the dietary laws. You've got the pork police out there. And then he goes on also, and he condemns what we call today the prosperity preacher of today. The prosperity preacher who puts all the emphasis on material things. You hear T.D. Jakes say, I want my stuff now. I don't want to wait. I want my stuff now. You hear Joel Osteen said, live the good life now. Get it here on earth. Live the good life right here on earth. Well, that's not what the Lord Jesus taught. The Lord Jesus taught to place up your treasures in heaven. Place up your treasures in heaven. Not material things. but what you do for the Lord Jesus Christ, your service to God. That's why he tells you to be a doer of the word, not a hearer, only deceiving yourselves. All of those material things, let me tell you, you can collect things, and, you know, just like so many of these prosperity preachers, they have all these jet planes and that. They're all going to be left behind. They're not going to be able to take any of that with them. None of that. And here you have these guys that are boast about saying how God wants us to have all these material things. Let me tell you, here, the poor peasant that has put up crowns in heaven will be much far, far better off than any of these prosperity preachers. I think of Kenneth Copeland when I think about that, bragging that he'll be worth $2 billion. Well, I don't think you're going to take one penny of that with you. And folks, think about that. Having $2 billion when there's starving, there's so many starving people in the world today. And how do you get $2 billion being a preacher? Preachers, real God called preachers because God has called men for the cause and not for the paycheck. And you'll find that some of the best preachers there ever were, the most godly men, were some of the poorest men there ever were. And you just look at the apostles and you see that right there. And so here now, he goes on to say, who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto the glorious body, according to the work whereby he is able to subdue all things to himself. So here God has told us, once we are saved, once we have put our trust in him, that the day will come when we will trade these old tabernacles in for glorified bodies. And when that happens, we will be assured, absolutely assured, we will have eternal life. And, well, what is the word I guess I'm looking for would be, we would become I believe that word that I'm looking for I'm going through my pages here and they seem to be sticking together on me. Let me just read it. Then comes the end, when we shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when we shall have put down all the rule and authority and power, for he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet, and the last enemy shall be destroyed as death, for he hath put all things under his feet. But when he hath said to all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is expected, which did put all things under him. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him and put all things under him, that God may be all in all. But let me jump ahead here. Now I say this, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, and neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For the corruptible must put on incorruption, and the mortal must put on immortality. And when the And when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and the mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is in the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be you steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So that word I was looking for is immortal. We will become immortal. We have God's word on that we will become immortal. Now, I want to go over to 2 Chronicles 16. And in 2 Chronicles 16, starting with verse 20 through verse 30, we read this. And when they went from nation to nation, and from one kingdom to another people, he suffered no man to do them wrong. Yes, he reproved kings for their sake, saying, touch not my anointed, and do my prophet no harm. Sing unto the Lord, all the earth, show forth from day to day his salvation. Declare his glory among the heathen, his marvelous work among all the nations. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He also is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the people are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Glory and honor are in his presence. Strength and gladness are in his place. Give unto the Lord, you kindreds of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord thy glory due unto his name. Bring an offering. Come before him. Worship the Lord in thy beauty of holiness. Fear before him all the earth. The world also shall be stable, that it not be moved. Now, God's anointed are children of the Most High Potentate. And the wicked are the children of Satan. There are different degrees of punishment for those that do evil to God's children. I can just tell you, like today, those like Joe Biden and Chucky Schumer and Nancy Pelosi and AOC and Jerry Nadler and Adam Schiff, the Squat, and those hussies from hell, they stand condemned. They stand condemned already. Now, these are the people that hate God's word, that hate God's children. But that's not the reason they stand condemned. They stand condemned, and you find the reason for that in right over there in the Gospel of John, chapter 3, a very familiar passage. And if we go over there, we read, starting in verse 18, he that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light came into the world, and men loved darkness rather than the light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, and neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth come to the light, and the deeds may be manifest that they were wrought in God. Well, here, as we see, those people often try to protect themselves from their fears by putting their trust in something they do or they have. For example, well, maybe good works, their skill, maybe their intelligence, maybe their money, their possessions. But only God can save us from the one thing that we really need to fear: eternal condemnation. We believe in God by recognizing the insufficiency of our own efforts to find salvation, by asking him to do his work in us. When Jesus talks about unbelievers, he means those who reject or ignore him completely, not those who have, well, you might say, some momentary doubts. And so here, when he goes on to say in verse 19, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world and men love darkness rather than light. Well, you know, we are to be the salt and the light. And, you know, most people today really don't want their lives exposed to God's light because they are afraid of what it will reveal. They don't want to be changed. Don't be surprised when these same people who are threatened by your desire to obey God and do what's right because they are afraid that the light in you may expose some of the darkness in their lives. Rather than giving in to discouragement, folks, I keep praying that they will come to see how much better it is to live in light than in darkness. But you see here what he has said this. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light. But no, let's go back. And this is the condemnation, that light has come to the world, but men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither come to the light, lest their deeds should be reproved. But let me go back to verse 18. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. So the vast majority of the people out there, the vast majority of the people in this world today already are standing condemned. And this is why we put so much emphasis here on getting the gospel message out. This is why it means so much to us to continue to try to get that gospel message out. Now, for many, many people, it's too late. For many, God has given them over to a reprobate mind, and they become completely overcome by depravity. Now it's very highly likely. I just mentioned a bunch of very well-known Democrats. But for so long, they have set their heart against God for so long. They've embraced every wicked thing. And they've hated his children. They've hated his children for so long. I think it's very highly unlikely that they will ever, ever repent. And now there are those out there that teach that repentance is not necessary for salvation. But that's not what the Lord Jesus said. The very first time he preached, he called them to repent or perish. And so I want to go now over to Jeremiah chapter 34. And in Jeremiah chapter 34, I have been doing, this is the fourth time I've preached today, and it's a little rough on the voice, especially when I still have a remnant of my bout with these allergies out here. But anyhow, I'm pretty much, for the most part, over it. Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 34, starting with verse 8. This is the word that cometh unto Jeremiah from the Lord. Well, before we really get into that, let me give you a little overview here. And what you have here is you have Zedekiah, and he is the king. And Zedekiah has had a problem. He has not been very good to when it comes to listening to Jeremiah the prophet. Jeremiah has come to us and say, thus saith the Lord God. But he has all of his princes, and these princes really are like state legislators, or not state, but like congressmen and senators of today. And so here Jeremiah is coming and saying, look, here you have been wrong, you have not repented, you have rebelled against God, And he's not talking about just the king. He's talking about Israel. And he's saying now, therefore, God is going to send in Nebuchadnezzar, and he is going to take you into captivity. Don't resist him. Don't resist him. If you resist him, it'll cost you dearly. So now, Zedekiah thinks, well, you know what? We got to do something here. Maybe we can call this off. And let me pick it up there. This is the word that came into Jeremiah from the Lord after the king Zedekiah had made a covenant with all the people which were at Jerusalem to proclaim liberty unto them, that every man should let his maidservant, his manservant, and his maidservant, being a Hebrew or a Hebrewess, go free, that none should serve himself of them, of a Jew or his brother. Now when all the princes and all the people which had entered into the covenant heard that every one should let his maidservant, his manservant, and every one his maidservant go free, that none should serve themselves of them any more, then they obeyed and let them go. But afterwards they turned and caused the servants and the handmaids whom they had let go free to return and brought them into subjection for servants and for handmaids. In other words, they broke the covenant. Now, here, remember that little thing called 9/11. How after 9/11, remember, oh yes, we saw the big dust storms in New York City, but that paled in comparison to the dust around the country when the Bibles were taken down off the shelves and dusted off. And here, all of a sudden, remember, the people were worried. They were very afraid now when they saw these things happening, thinking, well, maybe this is World War III. And so all of a sudden, they went and they found their Bibles again. And then after that, you kept hearing how this has united Americans. This has united the Americans. Americans are united again as one nation. And that didn't last very long at all. That didn't last very long at all. And here now, what you have here is when Zedekiah saw Babylon had laid siege to Jerusalem and the city was about to fall, that's when he decided to listen to Jeremiah and tried to appease God. And he figured, well, maybe if I do this, maybe if I declare liberty I show passion and compassion, maybe God will. And so he made this covenant, right, that's what they would do. But what happened? Well, it didn't take long for them to break that covenant. Therefore, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, I made a covenant with your fathers in the day that I brought them forth out of the land of Egypt and out of the house of the bondmen, saying, at the end of 7 years, let ye go every man and his brother and a Hebrew which has been sold unto thee. And when he has served thee 6 years, thou shalt let him go free from thee. But your fathers hearkened not unto me, neither inclined their ear. And you were now turned and had done right in my sight in proclaiming liberty to every man and his neighbor. And you made a covenant before me in the house which is called by my name. But you turned and you polluted my name and caused every man and his servant and every man and his handmaid whom he had set at liberty at their pleasure to return and brought them into subjection to be unto you for the servants, for the handmaids. Well, here now, God is telling them, you broke the covenant. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, you have not hearkened unto me, proclaiming liberty every one to his brother and every man to his neighbor. Behold, I proclaim a liberty for you, saith the Lord, to the sword, to the pestilence. And to famine, and I will make you to be removed unto all the kingdoms of the earth. And I will give the men that have transgressed against my covenant, which have not performed in the words of the covenant, which they had made before me, when they cut a calf in twain and passed between the parts thereof. Well, the custom was when you made a covenant with the people and God, that they would take and they would take a calf and they would cut a calf in half. And they would take and they would pass through it. Each man in this covenant would pass through it as a nation or as a people. And that would seal the covenant. If I will even give them unto the hand of their enemies and unto the hand of them that seek their life, and their dead bodies shall be for meat unto the fowls of the heaven and to the beasts of the earth. And Zedekiah, king of Judah, and his princes will I give into the hand of their enemies, and into the hand of them that seek their life. And behold, the hand of the king of Babylon's army, which are gone up from you. Behold, I will command, saith the Lord, and cause them to return to the city, and they shall fight against it, and take it, and burn it with fire. And I will make the cities of Judah desolation without an inhabitant. Now, what happened here? When Zedekiah, when he made this covenant and it pleased God, God turned back. He had turned back the armies of Babylon, of Nebuchadnezzar. So they had turned back. But when the people turned around and said, look, Nebuchadnezzar's gone, and, you know, we don't see God anywhere, so let's go back on our promise. Let's go out and capture and bring back our servants. Let's bring them all back and put them back to work. And they broke the covenant. Well, you know, it's just like here. And it's just like today. You know, in those days, well, they could keep it. While they were in the temple, they had no problem keeping it. But once it was turned back, once they left the temple. And it's just like today, here in the church. Well, you don't see people getting drunk in the church here, at least not in our church. You don't see people in the church arguing or fighting or any of that in the church. Well, they come to church and, well, it's called church polity. They behave themselves. And they're obedient to the word of God while they're there in the church. But not everybody does that when they leave and they go home. Well, I can guarantee you, a whole lot of people act a whole lot differently at home than they do in the church. And so here, that's exactly what they were doing. The minute that they weren't in the temple, the minute that they heard that Nebuchadnezzar's army had been turned back, and they left the temple, immediately they broke the covenant. And see, the point was this liberty. This liberty is something that is so important, and this is this liberty and freedom, and our liberty and our freedom, they don't come from government. Today, the government tries to tell us, and by the way, our government is as illegitimate gets. It is ill. And what do I mean by that? I mean that they have no authority, and you shouldn't be recognized. Now, they have power. They have power, but they have no authority. The authority comes from a compliance with God's word. And our government is about as out of compliance with the Word of God as you could possibly get. Now, I want to go over to Isaiah chapter 5. In Isaiah chapter 5, we read this, starting with verse 18. Woe unto them that draw iniquity with cords of vanity, and sin, as it were, with a carp rope. He's talking about those people that openly display their sin. They flaunt their sin in front of Almighty God. You have the LGBTQ. You have the sodomite parades. You have this burn, loot, and murder. You've got the death. You've got the death parades out there, the pro-abortion, pro-death parades. They're openly flaunting their sin in front of God. They say, let him make speed and hasten his work that we may see it. And let the counsel of the Holy One of Israel draw nigh and come that we may know it. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, and bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Look, sins that they call good, some of the sins that they call good today, and I'm talking about the so-called mainstream media, I'm talking about everything on the left, they call abortion a right. It's not a right, it's murder. God calls it murder. They call euthanasia right. No, God calls that murder. They call sodomy good. God says it's an abominable thing. It's an abominable. It's a stench of rotting flesh in the nostrils of a holy God. They proclaim pedophilia should be made legal because the entire Democratic Party is flush with with pedophiles. And they call this good. They call it something that's healthy and normal. You have this thing called, what is it, man law, something like that. Man, boy, love association. They have a saying, NAMBLA is what it's called, that by 8 is too late. That you should have sex with children before the age of 8. These people are totally reprobate according to God's word. They call bestiality good. They call pornography good. They call child porn good. They call depopulating the planet, meaning killing off people, good. They call the forced kill shots, these things they call vaccines that are killing people all over the country, they call them good. They call whoredom and lying and killing and stealing and false witness. They call all of these things good. But Scripture, if we go on, says, woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine and men of strength to mingle soft drink, or strong drink, rather. Which justify the wicked for reward and take away the righteousness of the righteous from him. There is, as the fire devoureth the stubble, and the flame consumeth the chaff, so their root shall be as rottenness, and their blossom shall go up as dust, meaning that they're going to be dead, go to hell, and they're going to be forgotten. Because they have cast away the law of the Lord of hosts, and despised the word of the Holy One of Israel. Therefore is the anger of the Lord kindled against his people, and he has stretched forth his hand against them, and has smitten them, and the hills did tremble, and their carcasses were torn in the midst of the streets. For all this, his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. In other words, his hand of judgment is stretched out, and he's continuing to bring his wrath. And that's happening all around the world today because of sin. because of sin here in this country. Now, we, like the Apostle Paul, were born free as American citizens. The freedom that we knew was bought and paid for with the blood of freedom-loving American patriots. Our inalienable rights come from God. Those rights are not privileges granted by the deathocratic antichrist communist mob. No, not at all. All true Christian patriots, Americans, will resist unto death the attempts of the left to force its godless agenda upon us. The heathen are raging. The Bible says, why do the heathen rage? Due to the overturning of Roe versus Wade. I hear these evil, selfish hypocrites say, well, this will cause women to die by overturning Roe v. Wade. Well, that in itself is a lie. It's not truth. But folks, let me tell you something. Well, this is going to upset a lot of people when I say this, but those women that go and kill their babies deserve to die. Now, automatically, I can hear people saying, you're being judgmental. No, I'll tell you who said that. It was God that said it. It was God that said it. And he said it in Genesis chapter 9, verses 5 through 7. When he gave us the third point of divine human government. And this is where we got the statute of the death penalty. God has said, for those that destroy innocent human life, his image. Remember, the entire purpose of divine human government was to preserve the image of God, that being man. And so he said, because of that, those that destroyed his image, that transgressed his dominion, well, the price was the cost of their own lives. They would have to forfeit their own life. So God had said this. Now Jesus said the wages of sin is death. And he said you would have been better off to have a millstone which weighs 4,000 pounds and dropped into the ocean than to do what they're doing to those precious babies. And so, before any of you out there, you prissy preachers and you people that don't use common sense, say, now, Pastor Uni, we have to be compassionate for these girls. Listen, unless they are forced, if they voluntarily kill their babies, they deserve to die. God has said that. Now, we will never, no, not ever, ever submit to the dictates of the antichrist, deathocratic, communist aggressors. We will not take the kill shots. We will not wear the face diapers. We will not stand 6 feet apart. We will never accept sodomite marriages, transgender or critical race theory, or the asinine pronouns. And that's where you no longer can use the word man or male or woman or female, that they've come up with the language of illusion, delusion, and confusion. And we will not adopt it. We will never, ever, ever accept LGBTQ, lewd, gross, belligerent, transgressing, queers. We will never accept that. We will never accept pedophilia, bestiality, polygamy, liars, murderers, and any kind of whores. And that's interesting. When I say any kind of whores, you've got the sensual, the physical whores out there. You've got, well, today, the hot wives, the cougars, and wow, such a huge high percentage of the college girls out there, and even high school girls today are whores. And they call that, well, they call it a progressive culture. Well, that's okay, but God calls it whores. But then you have another kind of whore, too. You have those, like those George Soros bought and paid for prosecutors or prostitutors. He tells you, especially over in Hosea chapter 4, when he's speaking to the men, he's telling the men that your wives and daughters are going to go out a whoring, committing adultery. But I'm not going to punish them because you went out whoring before they did. And what was he talking about? Well, a good example would be what I have right here in the newspaper. And this is out of the Plain Deceiver. Michael O'Malley joins 90 prosecutors, and I call them prostitutes across the country, in signing a letter vowing not to enforce abortion bans. Well, this is evil. First of all, they're saying, we're going to hook up and we're going to go with killing. The Bible says, I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Well, this wicked man, like these are George Soros prostitutes. These are whores. They're saying, we're not going to obey the law. We're lawless. Now, we expect you to obey, and we expect to prosecute you for disobeying the laws, but we're going to disobey the laws, too. And see, they have no legitimacy. They have no legitimacy, and they have some temporary power. But they're whores. And so here, and I'm going to talk more about this tomorrow here. What other kind of whores are there? Well, you've got these attorney generals, you've got congressmen, senators, you've got the woke company CEOs. They have sold themselves very cheaply, sold themselves for gain, like any other whore or prostitute. And it's going to cost them. The wages of sin is death. We will not recognize the Biden regime. We will never, as being legitimate. First of all, he was not a legitimately elected president. The election was stolen with election fraud. And anyone and everyone who says it wasn't is a liar, and there's not a bit of truth in them. And you won't find one of those talking heads out there with the decency, the integrity, and the courage to come on here and sit across from me and debate this with me. We will not recognize the so-called mainstream media as being legitimate. They're not legitimate. The so-called mainstream media, there are no journalists left out there. And what these people do, they're contracted liars. They sign a contract agreeing. And again, they use the term narrative that they, well, whatever they're told, whatever narrative they're told to promote. And the echo chamber goes on. And the saying that, if we say it long enough and loud enough, people will believe us. If we say it long enough and loud enough, if we keep saying it long enough and loud enough, the people will believe us. And again, they're contracted to lie. We will not accept the government, school system, as being legitimate. They're not. They've got nothing to do with education. They've become nothing but indoctrination centers for Marxism, for cultural Marxism. In fact, we could never recognize any of these institutions as being legitimate. If we could, in fact, recognize any of these institutions as being legitimate. Now, think about this for a minute. If we could recognize these institutions, which are totally in opposition and totally contrary to the teaching of God's Word, the King James Bible here, then God's Word, the King James Bible, well, then it becomes null and void. Folks, let me read you this and remind you one more time. When in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another, and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and nature's God entitle them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the cause which impel them to the separation. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, and they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just power from the consent of the governed, that whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it and to institute a new government, laying foundations on such principles, organizing its powers in such a form as to them shall seem most likely to the effect of their safety and happiness. Folks, we have to, not the form of government, but those that are within this government that have made it illegitimate. We've got to turn it around, bring it back to where right is right and wrong is wrong. This government we have has gone totally illegitimate. It is anti-Christ, anti-God. It is anti-anything that is good, clean, decent, and honorable. And so it's up to you and I, both God's Word, the Bible, and our Constitution demand that we dissolve the ties with this wicked, corrupt, ungodly, antichrist world system and reestablish taking our country back, taking our government back to where it once was. Well, we're out of time for tonight. So like we do at this time every night, I want to say good night, God bless, and always, always, always keep fighting the fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.